to installment 244 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, continuing the Rambam's discussion of the laws of financial damages. This time, positive commandment 238, which is the damage caused by bor, a pit of a person, and as a result of him digging a pit, he causes damage to someone else. This commandment regards the compensation which must be paid as a result of this form of damage. The Rambam tells us that this law derives from the book of Exodus, chapter 21, verse 33. The section begins, V'chi yiftach ish ber, if a person opens up a pit. Our sages have explained that regardless of how a pit occurred in a person's property, the owner of the property is required to prevent damage from taking place. So therefore, should he himself dig a hole, or even if someone else should dig the hole, and he neglects to fill it up, for example, an animal has dug a hole, he is still responsible to fill it and make sure no damage occurs. And so too, if a hole was dug and it was covered, and a person removes the cover, and as a result of the opening of this hole, damage occurs, the one who has caused the damage is required to pay for it. As the verse states, Baal HaBer Yishalim, the owner of the pit is required to pay. As we discussed in the portions of the last few days, the Torah differentiates between things which are assumed to naturally cause damage and things which are not natural results of the nature of the thing. For example, an ox which could gore is not considered to be a natural act of an ox. Therefore, before this animal has been proved to be a damaging ox and done so by having it occur three times, this is assumed to be an accident, so to speak, and only half of the damage must be borne by the owner of the ox. A pit, however, is something which intrinsically is able to damage. This is a natural result. We would assume that if a person digs a pit and does not take care that someone should not fall in, this will naturally cause damage, and therefore the one who dug it is responsible for any damage which occurs. Therefore, should a person fall in and injure himself, the owner or the one who dug the pit must pay. So too, if an ox fell in, as the verse states, Sheir o chamer, an ox or a donkey falls in and dies, the one who dug the pit again is responsible for paying for the damage. However, the Torah tells us that this is only if the pit was deep enough that it naturally would be assumed to kill an animal. And the sages give the measurement as 10 tfachim, or 10 handbreadths. Shallower than this, the hole will not be considered to kill an animal. And even if the animal should fall in and die, nevertheless, the one that dug the hole is exempt, because this is not a hole which would naturally kill an animal. However, any other damage which is caused is the owner's responsibility, because this is assumed to be something which is naturally damaging. Although this mitzvah is named after the verse in Chumash, which refers to a ber, or a hole, nevertheless, any damaging object would make its owner liable as a result of the same commandment. For example, let us say that a person left a knife in the middle of a public domain, and another person comes along and steps on this knife and injures himself. The one who placed the knife in such a place is liable as a result of this law of ber. That just as a person who dug a hole in a public domain is responsible for any damages which occur, so to this, it is the same idea that a damaging object was placed in people's way. We find here, by the way, a very interesting law, that if a person digs a hole in the public domain, the pit in general does not belong to him. That since it is in the public domain, he cannot make it his own personal property. If so, how can he be held responsible for damages which occur? We learn that it's in a unique case, that the Torah makes it his for this particular purpose. In general, the whole does not belong to him. But when it comes to bearing responsibility for its damage, then it does belong to him, tells us the Torah. And therefore he has to pay for any damage which is done. The Talmud in Baba Kama gives us many laws relating to this idea of a whole damaging, and gives us some stories to illustrate the point. One story is told of a person who used to stand in his field and throw rocks over the fence of his field into the public thoroughfare, which is prohibited. The person is throwing rocks there, and a person could be damaged by the rocks. A person came along and asked him, "Why are you throwing rocks from property which does not belong to you onto property which does belong to you?" The owner of the field laughed and said, "This person got it the wrong way around. I am throwing from my field, and this is property that belongs to me, and I'm throwing it into the public domain which does not belong to me." However, after this act took place, the person started losing money and eventually had to sell his field in order to cover his debts. Later on, he walked in the road next to his former field and happened to trip and hurt himself on some of the rocks that he himself had thrown. Then he realized the wisdom of the person that told him that he should not throw the rocks. The person had told him, "Do not throw rocks from a place which is not yours to a place which is yours." And he realized that the field which he previously owned was now not his. And he threw it from the field, which was not his now, into the public domain, which was now his place. The only place that he now owned was the road, that he had equal ownership with every other person in the world. Since he no longer owned any land, the road was his place. Therefore, he threw rocks from a place which was not his to a place which was his. The Talmud tells us another law with an interesting story associated with it. Let's say a person should dig a well in the middle of the public domain, in the middle of the road. In that case, the law is, if he reserves this well for his own use, then he is responsible for any damage which is caused. However, if he dug the well for everyone to use, then he is exempt from any liability for damage which might occur. The Talmud tells us that who is someone who fulfilled this law? Nechunya chefer shichin. Nechunya, who used to dig wells. That Nechunya would constantly be digging wells in the public domain to provide water for all of the people who would come to Yerushalayim, to the temple in Jerusalem for the holidays, and to ensure that they have an easy trip and would have plenty of water to drink, he would dig wells and donate it to the public. The Talmud continues with a braisa, which tells us of a story which occurred to the daughter of Nechunya Chefer Shichin. His daughter happened to fall into a large pit. A large pit was dug and she fell into it, and hope was lost as to her coming back alive. There was no way to take her out of the pit. It was so deep. And people came to Rabbi Hanina ben Desa and asked him what to do. The first time they came to him, he said, "Sholem, everything will be okay." They came back to him a second hour and asked, "What should we do?" And he told them, "Sholem, everything is at peace." They came back a third time, and he told them also, "She's already come up." And they ran to the well and found out that she was out of the well. They asked the daughter of Nechunya, "Who brought you out of the well?" And she said that she saw a ram which was led by an old man. And as Rashi explains, the old man was Avram Avinu, none other than Abraham. And the ram was the ram which was present at the binding of Yitzchak. And they led her out of this pit. When they came back to Hanina ben Desa, they asked him, Navi Ata, are you a prophet that you knew this would take place? And he answered, Lei Navi Anoichi, V'lei Ben Navi Anoichi. I am not a prophet, and I am not even the son of a prophet. However, I have a principle which has been passed on to me, that if a tzaddik has exerted himself to perform a certain mitzvah, his children will never be harmed by anything having to do or be associated with this mitzvah. Therefore, since Nechunya exerted himself and tried so hard to provide water for all people coming to Jerusalem by digging holes, digging wells, therefore, Hanina ben Desa knew that no harm could come to a child of Nechunya's through a well. And therefore, he was assured that Hashem would save her from this well, since it could not do her any harm. The Rambam in his legal code brings another statement of the Gemara, which has much to do with the law of Be'er, and especially when it falls out on Yutes Kislev, which is the Rosh Hashanah of Chassidus, with the idea of Chassidus in general. The Rambam tells us that the Chassidim HaRishenim, the early pious people, used to take damaging objects and ensure that they could not harm other people. Glass or thorns would be dug, would be buried deep in the ground, three handbreadths, three tefachim deep, in order that they should not come to damage any person or any animal. Other people, tells us the Talmud, used to burn them with fire. Others, however, would worry that the fire could not completely burn glass or other objects, and therefore would throw them into a river or into the ocean, in order that they should not harm anybody. We find a similar story in the Talmudic tractate Nida. As the story is told of the Alter Rebbe, in the early days, when there was much opposition to Chassidus, the Alter Rebbe was asked, what is this idea of a Chassid? And the Alter Rebbe answered that a Chassid cares only about helping other people. He will give up his own benefit, and even would risk damage to himself as long as someone else is helped. Since this was a time of much opposition to Chassidus, they did not let the Alter Rebbe alone and asked him, where do we see that this is true? Show me some place in the Gemara. And the Alter Rebbe answered them, I'm very surprised. It's an open, straightforward Gemara. In Tractate Nida, the Gemara discusses the idea of nails, that when a person's fingernails are cut, there's a possibility that the nails could do damage to a pregnant woman, if she walks over the nails. Therefore, the Talmud tells us, a wicked person just throws the nails on the ground, and perhaps could cause damage to this woman. A righteous person, a tzaddik, buries the nails on the ground so that no damage could be done. But a chassid is worried even more. A chassid is worried that an animal could uncover the ground covering the nails, and therefore damage could still be done. Therefore, a chassid seirfen, the chassid burns the nails. And as explained there, even though there's a possibility that burning the nails could do damage to himself in a spiritual sense, nevertheless the chassid is concerned first and foremost about someone else's benefit. And the Rebbe explains further that this Gemara has contained within it the idea of the foundations of Teiras HaChassidus and the ways of Chassidus. That when a person goes with a strict intellectual determination, he could decide whose benefit is more important, his own or someone else's. However, Chassidus requires that a person go beyond their intellectual limitations, l'mayla mitam v'das, and therefore a person must think first and foremost about another person's benefit. And in particular, the Rebbe explains that a person should meditate on the fact that God pays back people, mida keneged mida. That if a person goes and behaves in a way of strict intellectual determination and accounting, then God answers him in the same way. And God investigates very strictly the person's actions and the person's thoughts. And should something, chas v'sholem, not be totally proper, Hashem decreases his blessings. But if the person goes in a way of kindness to others and devotion which is higher than intellectual determination, of total devotion, using the strength of the neshama, of the soul, then God also pays him back with a tremendous flow of blessings. And this is one of the foundations of chassidus, that all Torah and mitzvahs must be approached not from an intellectual perspective, but they must be based on emunah and on a devotion of mesiras nefesh higher than intellectual requirement. The Rambam concludes by telling us that this mitzvah is described in the third and fifth chapters of Baba Kama.
Thank you for tuning in to Sefer Mitzvahs, a project of Sichos in English. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.